This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
We're back after a week where we both took vacation, and I forgot to post anything about it. So sorry if you were wondering where the podcast was, but we were gone, but we're not now. We're back refreshed from our vacations.
We can't take time off at the same time.
No one can do that.
I hope you know that.
No one can do that. No. What I like to do is have you plan a vacation 7 months in advance, and then a week before, I announce I'm also taking vacation. That's my favorite thing to do to you. I love it.
I do too.
And then we both get yelled at. Yeah. That's the best part is when we both get yelled at for it. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That may or may not happen a few more times this year, considering I've already put my vacation days in for the entire year. Oh,
by the way, I will say that is one of the, I love this job. It is a job that obviously has a lot of perks. One of the, not downsides to it, but one of the things that you have to navigate, I guess lots of people have this at their jobs where you have to have cover for what you're doing. And so my family, we are not great planners at this stage in our where all of our kids are, because we've got summer camps and there's stuff all
summer camps.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Must
there's
be nice.
There's a workshop. Hey, no, it's not that. It's not like they go for 2 weeks and we don't see them. It's 7 hours a day. We drop you off at the gymnasium where they're working on basketball or soccer or singing or whatever they're
My
into.
My papa is sending me to Camp Apache.
No, it's workshop stuff. And then we pick them up, and then they're still here. And then they're all, like, not in great moods because they've been worked
tired
all day. Yeah, they've been practice all day, worked to death all day. So, yeah, but then it's like, all right, I think I got a week, maybe in July, we could squeeze in a vacay. Let's look at the work count. And it's like everybody else is like, we already got them all in. And I'm like, dang it. So now I got to figure that out. We still don't have our vacation plan for the summer yet.
I thought you guys were doing Disney.
Oh, no. That's not us.
Okay.
Someone maybe. We'd like to do Disney. Maybe next
year. Maybe that was a thought. Maybe this has been the last couple of years just you talking about, yeah, we'd like to do Disney.
We've been planning to go, and then every year it's like, I don't know if it's going to work this year because everything gets filled up too quick.
You guys went to Louisville, though, the Louisville Slugger Museum.
We did. That was fun.
It's a cool place. It's a cool place.
Yeah, I would recommend if anybody's ever down there. We saw their stadium, too, where the Lou City. Do they have a women's team? I can't remember. But I know they have the USL team. But yeah, anyway, their stadium looks cool. I didn't get to go check it out.
Did you walk past the Bats stadium too?
Yeah, we were staying right by that and stupidly didn't even look to see if they were at home for opening weekend, which they were.
They have a sweet brewery inside of the stadium.
I saw it.
That is outside of the stadium, so you don't need a ticket to get in. Like, it's just the standalone brewery, but it's attached to the stadium. On the other side, like backside of the brewery, there's a big window that you could just like watch the game and be in the brewery.
That's amazing.
And it like peers into the stadium.
I did not know that.
That's cool.
Yeah. See that? I will tell you.
It's called Against the Grain. We've been there a few times, and like every time we've gone to Louisville, we've gone to that brewery.
There's a baseball bat reference there, right? Of course. But I would say if you are a fan of baseball, clearly go down and do that Louisville, the Bat Museum thing, the tour.
It doesn't take long either. It's quick.
No, if you have 2 hours, you can pretty much do everything you want to do.
Yeah.
They give you like you can hold Babe Ruth's actual game-used bat.
Yeah.
Now it's like wrapped up in like a bat condom, basically, to keep it so your grubby mitts don't get all over the actual historic handle. But you know what I'm saying. So that was cool. I'm saying if you're going down and if they're playing soccer and you want to go do that, and if you happen to like other things like baseball or bourbon.
And great bar restaurant scene down there.
Oh, yeah. It's all right on that row, Whiskey Row. Yeah. That's where the Bat Museum is kind of at the end of that. The Louisville Bat
The Factory. Louisville Slugger.
It's not even called that. It's whatever the company is that makes Louisville Slugger. I forget the name of the company. They told us on the tour. But we went to the science center there, which is like their COSI, which for what it is nice. Not nearly as expansive as our COSI, but it's in that little downtown area. And then, every big distillery has some kind of bourbon experience thing.
Angel's Envy's like actual, I think, distillery is down there.
Michter's is too. They're Fort Nelson. I don't know if that's what they call it, but that that they have a distillery right there on Whiskey Row that they only make certain, you know, expressions of their bourbon there, and then you can get those, and it's highly sought after. So their bourbon bar is supposed to be one of the best in the world.
Wow.
So at that Fort Nelson, I think that's what it's called. It's the one on Whiskey Row.
Okay.
It's, yeah, but anyway, if you're a bourbon guy or gal and also like baseball, Louisville's a great stop. Good music, too. Went to a concert. Had
nice.
A lot of fun.
Who'd you place see?
Called, a band called 68.
I've heard of them.
They are, it's a band I like called Norma Jean.
Yeah.
Heavy, screamy.
Yeah.
Their former lead singer then formed The Chariot, which was another heavy, screamy band. And then this is his third band he's now formed, which is just him playing guitar and singing and a dude playing drums.
Nice.
Two guys. So it's a little bit, you know, like that. It's that scene, whatever you call it. Two guys singing and playing drums, and that's it.
21 Pilots scene.
21 Pilots. Who are the guys from Akron? Well, I'm blanking
Black
on.
Black Keys.
Black Keys, yeah, right. It's all that. But it's good. It's that kind of stuff. And then another band called the Callous Dowboys, which I highly recommend. I'm very high on them. They
great
are crazy.
Words.
A guy, Derek Zanetti, who goes by Homeless Gospel Choir, just a solo act, but does like acoustic punk rock stuff. Fantastic. We're like the same age, same musical references, same like life experiences. So he's talking on the stage and I'm like, I feel like this guy is in my head.
He's
saying
right
all my thoughts.
99% of your algorithm.
Yeah, it was very spot on. It was very good. So a nice time there. We enjoyed Louisville. I need to go back more often.
It's a great city. I really enjoy Louisville.
You know, it's just far enough away where you feel like I should spend the night. I should not, like, you don't want to drive back after driving 4 hours down there, which is about what it takes.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a perfect distance for our brood. Get them down there and, hey, we're doing vacation. There's a pool. Hop in the pool.
You're fine. There's also a river right here if you want to jump in that.
We got a pool and a pond. Pond would be good for
pond
you.
Pond would be good for you, Danny.
Yeah, look at that. And you had a nice vacation too, right?
Yeah, it was good. Went down to South Carolina. I'll spare you the details, but little William had fun.
That's good. And he flew.
He flew for the first time. Plane ride on the way down was fine. Slept, you know, an hour and 15 minutes out of the hour and a half. So that was good. Way back, he didn't sleep at all. He was kind of getting a little restless. I get it. I understand it. It was a different day part where he had already taken his nap, like big nap of the day.
Sure. Yeah.
So he was fine, though. He didn't really, he was like whimpering and, you know, crying. And we're like trying to feed him snacks and different stuff. But it was very, very manageable. Very manageable.
Well, that's good. I feel like, by the way, now that my attitude has totally changed now that I have kids, if you're someone who gets on a plane and is judgy of someone whose kid is crying on the plane, like, I get it. If you're flying to Singapore, maybe that's not the trip to bring your infant. But if it's a domestic flight, you got to assume people have relatives and they want to see, let me see the baby.
It was
like,
so
they want to
too.
See it.
On this flight, because we flew into Hilton Head, Savannah from Rickenbacker, actually. So, like, it was a good experience that we didn't have to go through, like, Big Bad John Glenn International, which really isn't on the grand, the grandioseness of airport scale. It's like, it's not.
But compared
crazy.
To Rickenbacker, it's even less hectic.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And so you go in, there's one gate, there's two, you know, check-in places, and then there's two, like, actual gates that have planes at them. And just the one was full, but there was a bunch of kids going down on spring break. So, like, this plane was packed full of kids. And Meredith and I had sat way back in the back to make sure that's like, all right, if anything does go wrong, like, we're back here. Like, it'll be fine. But, no, it was good. And they have airport beers at Rickenbacker.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, in cans. They don't have drafts, but they do have cans available for purchase.
You can still drink them.
Of course.
Last I heard.
I didn't get one, though. Scared to be great.
That's.
I was a bit nervous about the flight.
Yeah, I understand.
How it was going to go.
I was down by all this bourbon and whiskey stuff, and then I don't go into any of them because we had the three kids all there, and I'm like, well, I mean, that would be selfish, right?
Yeah.
So I'm walking by just hoping I get a little draft, a little waft of some.
Smell that.
I just want to smell some vapors.
Like, smell that grain.
Oh, yeah, I know. Next time, though, we're going back to Louisville. I might go back this year. I didn't see Sticker Brad. I regret that. I texted with Sticker Brad. But we did not
That's right. He's
get to hang
out.
He's a Louisville guy
Stupid
now.
Brad.
Well, some people call him that. I try to call him Sticker. Last thing I'll say on Louisville, if there's a, they have two of these. They're called, Rec Bar. If you ever like Recreation, REC.
Okay.
Rec Bar.
I didn't know if it was REC or WREC.
No. Well, you could get wrecked there, I guess. But what it is there's one across the river that's that little suburb of Indiana of Louisville is called New Albany, funny enough. And it's like an old, think of if you've been to Delaware or like Westerville, those older towns where they've got, but it's nice. They've all been kind of redone.
Like Main Street America kind of town.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much like that. But this bar is like one of those, the arcade bars.
Like a 16-bit?
Yeah, except it's much bigger, and they have a lot of just tables for, if you've got 10 people, you can put the whole party there. Cool. So if you're going with people, Uber to one of those places. And then it's got, I mean, they had 100 pinball machines.
Wow.
And they had two floors. So you go downstairs, they had a bunch of old games. Upstairs, they have a bunch of games, skee ball, basketball shooting, the driving games. And then the like murals and stuff inside, it was just Back to the Future, Gremlins, you know, Mario Brothers, yeah. Like just all 80s and 90s. It was fun. I had, kids loved it. I had a great meal. Their big thing is tachos there, which.
Okay. Mauling, it's the perfect food.
Yeah, it was. And I got a half plate for $8.50, and it was more food than I could handle. Like, I almost couldn't finish it. And it was a half plate. So they do it right. And their beer selection was on point. It was perfect. All good. So if you're ever going there, look up Rec Bar around Louisville. There's a good spot there. All right. I got paid for none of that. I probably should have.
Actually,
gave him some good advertising.
Bone gets paid a lot for Rec Bar.
When I get wrecked in Louisville, I go to Rec Bar.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting wrecked. Who are 0-2-1 in their last three games?
The last podcast we did, we're like, you know what we said?
We jinxed it.
I
screwed it up.
No, we both did.
Okay.
Because we're like, this is like the best, this could be the, you might be entering like the best phase of the Wilfried Nancy era. Like we saw how good it was last year at this time and how it could potentially be better this year. And now that's gone.
Yeah, it's all gone. Yeah, all the goodwill's done.
I'm not necessarily worried about form.
No.
Not yet?
No. I'm
more so worried about the Cucho situation.
That's exactly where we're headed, buddy. We have to talk about it. Despite apparently Wilfried Nancy's desire for no one to even bring it up.
Yeah.
Which I find to be just either stupid or naive. I'll give him naive because maybe still being a fairly young head coach in the sense of he's not been a head coach in a lot of places. He's only done a couple of these. I mean, but again, I would think everyone knows the drill, right? You've benched your best player for whatever reason for two games.
One of the league's best players.
Yeah, I mean, the most recognizable name that you have on this team and clearly a face of the entire Major League Soccer enterprise, a guy who has transfer rumors abounding about him, and I don't think that's what this is. But they had the game a few weeks ago in Charlotte, which that started the whole thing,
yep.
Right? Charlotte was a bad day. That was Nancy was sick, right, and couldn't manage the team that day. He was not available, so they had he didn't even travel with the team, yeah. I guess. So then they had assistants. Not even one guy was named the head man. They just said all the assistants are going to coach the team tonight. That's, I think, an odd approach, mm-hmm. But whatever. They probably knew how it worked, I guess. Then of course that game was abysmal. The refereeing was terrible. That was the last week before the pro referees came back,
yeah.
Before they got that worked out with their referee organization. Maybe that's why, because it was so bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe everyone took notice. Turf was awful. You have guys getting hurt. Just an awful game. You lose that game. But whatever. You're going to have games like that. It's fine. All right. So when he gets subbed off in that game, not happy.
Nope.
Visibly upset.
Pissed.
Said some things apparently to the coaching staff, walked off the bench area for a time. So no one, I mean, I'm not saying that's why this all happened, but that's the only thing we've seen outwardly that we can then draw a conclusion to, because the only thing you've heard Wilfried Nancy say is that it's
team policy. So we get to last week's game where they draw on the road, right?
Yep. Nashville.
Draw on the road against Nashville. And I tweeted out from our account, I'm like, you'll take a point on the road. You know?
Hell yeah. You take that there. With Cucho.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get a point on the road, however you get it at this point, like we said, three at home, point on the road, that's what we need.
Yep. A couple losses smattered in here and there. Don't give up a loss ever at home. If you're able to get a point at home, okay, you can live with that. Go and get 3 points at home.
Yeah.
So we get to the Nashville game. It's like, all right, Cucho's not going to be available. Everyone starts to wonder. It's like, okay, that's weird. Team policy. And then he posts something on Instagram like 6 hours before the match last night, which would have been Tuesday, Soccer Podcast Days of Wednesday, against Tigres, where he's like training alone in the gym at their training facility out at Historic Crew Stadium at the training grounds that they have. I saw that on Instagram. I'm like, I don't.
He's not playing tonight.
Doesn't look like he's gonna. Doesn't look like he's gonna be in the match day roster. So we'll see. So then my mind goes to, well, if it's team policy because you blew a gasket and you weren't happy with coaches and you were throwing a fit on the sideline when you got subbed off, that's a one gamer.
Right.
In my mind, I'm like,
that's a one gamer.
That's a one gamer. Flush it. Hey, man, we can't have you as the face of the franchise and the face of the organization. We can't have you doing this. You need to set an example for younger players. I get it. I'm totally cool with that. Whatever the policy states, I'm fine. You get to last night's game against Tigres. So I'm like, okay, 2-game suspension. That's crazy. What's going on?
Well, so that's where it makes you wonder. So again, first of all, just know everything we're about to talk about now, beyond what we just discussed, this is all Wilfried Nancy's fault that we're doing this.
Yes.
He's not being clear with us as fans, and we're in the media, but we don't do that. We don't go over there and ask.
Right.
But the ones who did, like Brianna McKay, who covers the team, she asked right out of the gate. And did you see his quote after the game?
Mm-hmm.
So the crew, we could talk about the game. That's what he wanted to talk about, is a 1-1 game. We'll get to it. But after this game where you need to win at home in CONCACAF, that's a big deal. Instead, they give up an away goal, and now it's if it goes 0-0, the crew are out.
Right.
Yeah. So Tigres, obviously the crew could get a goal, and that changes things too, but whatever. You want to keep them off the score sheet, and you want to win so you have those extra the cushion. Well, in either case, after the game, Nancy is asked about this by Brianna McKay of the Dispatch, and he says something to the effect of, you know, we just played a game. This is not tennis. I presume he means this is not a one-person sport. It's a team sport. I would prefer to talk about the team.
Football pitch.
Yeah, this is football. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the game. And I just thought that was so stupid to say that. Not that he's stupid. It's just
like, next question, please. I don't want to talk about Cucho.
I mean, fine. You don't have to, but
just know that there will be more rumors abound now, and you didn't. You had the option last night to come out and say, this is what we have in store. This is what is going on. You may not like it as fans. Nobody is above the crest. Nobody is above the badge. You can do that. We might not like it because we want production and you want to win trophies, right?
Right.
But on the other side of that, it's like, okay, you've got control of your locker room. Cucho may be upset about this. Fans may be upset. Here's the reason why, yada, 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 boom, boom, boom. I don't need details. It's just let me know the situation and why this is happening. Instead, it's like, not going to talk about it. Not going to give you anything.
Yeah, I mean, in the scope of, like, the amount of text we're all looking for this, I don't need you to write a book or even a magazine article. I would like a tweet. Like, I would like two sentences on this and this. Like, you don't even have to say what it was. You can say, look, Cucho is a great player. He violated team policy. Because of that, there's a punishment. That punishment has ended, or it's indefinite, or it's not over yet because we have another game that it's a 3-game suspension. Something. I mean, even parents know this. As a parent, teachers know this for little kids at school. If you just say, you're in timeout, when? Until I say so. Well, you can do that. That's not good. The better thing to do is tell the kid clearly what went wrong, why they're being punished, how long the punishment is, and then what the consequences are if they do it again. That's how this works in leadership. I hope that's being communicated to Cucho. Maybe he doesn't want to tell us what that is.
Yeah.
But you can't get mad when fans who have invested all this time, energy, time is money, by the way. So if we give our time, we're giving our money.
And you're actually giving your money.
And you're actually giving your money. If you watch the games, you have to pay to see them, let alone if you go to actually attend a game. All that to say, fans have a right to know, and all the media is doing is asking the questions that they want to know, but the fans want to know too. Their fans are asking them what's going on with Cucho, and they're saying, we don't know. Team's not telling us. So you can't get mad at the, and I know that may not have been like an angry, how dare you.
No.
But it's still this idea of why can't we talk about the game? Because this is part of the game, dude.
Right.
This is part of the game. This is the whole game. You have a guy who is possibly the one that could score you the game-winning goal. They have a guy on their team, right? Gignac, that we talked about.
Saw it last night.
He scored their goal. And it was a brilliant header. Something that, again.
Saw him chopping it up with the fourth official, too, after the game.
Course, as he's wont to do, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, this is a legendary player.
Yeah.
I would have loved to. And the fans who paid their money, who braved what looked like tornado weather to go out there, those fans probably, I think, deserve an explanation on why they didn't get to see Cucho go up against one of the best players in CONCACAF.
I agree.
Two of the best players in CONCACAF did not play against each other, and it was because Wilfried Nancy says, because.
Yeah.
Like, just because.
So, well, why?
Fans are going to want to know why that didn't happen, let alone because it's their team and they have an expectation. We want to see this team win.
Now it's a bigger story. Because you head into Lower.com Field on Saturday against DC, and now we're all talking about, well, is Cucho going to be available this
Of course.
Like,
now,
tonight?
He can obviously change that today, tomorrow, any day. By the time you hear this, he may have put out a statement saying, Cucho has served a suspension. We're not going to get into details, but I'm satisfied with his attitude and we're all good moving forward, blah, blah, blah. You could squelch all this. I don't know.
Squash.
Whatever. You can end it by saying something to the effect of it's over, or he will miss one more match and then we will move forward. That's the punishment we've determined. And if I'm not going to get into why, it's my decision based on performance and a bunch of other factors, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to tell you, here's the punishment and here's what happened. Like, here's when it's over, or here's the reasoning behind why I did it. You don't have to get into what his actions were. People probably can put that together.
Well, I also think it's unfair to the team, too, right? I mean, you got Patrick Schulte and, like, Darlington Nagby out there.
Yeah, they have to answer questions about it.
Now they've got to answer questions like, hey, what's going on with Kucha? It's like, we can't tell you. It's like, their mission should be focused on every 90 minutes when they go out there.
Yeah, I think Wilfried Nancy is a brilliant tactician. This is poor leadership. This is poor leadership. We can acknowledge that all humans are fallible and make mistakes. He is a very great soccer tactician and I think a really good leader. This is showing bad leadership qualities right here by not giving your fans at least some instance of understanding of what's happening.
I'm not even saying not playing him is bad or leadership.
No, not
again,
that.
Like he may
you
have
gotta
done
do
something.
What you gotta do.
He may have done something really bad, like in the locker room post game walk off.
I don't know.
Again, we have no idea. That's why this is a thing. It's the poor leadership, and we love Wilfried Nancy. We think he's a tremendous, tremendous human being. He's a tremendous coach. We know that.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at this situation, it's like, okay, you're a young head coach. You're just getting into the game. Your tactics are brilliant, are beautiful, and you're playing a game that everybody around the world would love to be able to play. You've got the team in a position to be able to do that, but with your main guy, something's going on, and you're not giving the fans the reason and the explanation as to why they're not seeing this guy.
Yeah, I think it's abundantly clear to me that fans have always been someone that it seems like fans often are just put to the side of like, well, they don't deserve to know. They're not in the locker room. Yeah, but when you want us to show up for the parade, when you want us to show up for the trophy, when you want us to show up for anything, just for the start of the season, for anything you got going on, well, we're a family, guys. We're all together.
When you're in the doldrums and you're not ripping off cups.
Yeah, it's like, guys, this means more than just, you know, watching these games. This is a family. We're a community. We're together. But
especially
then,
here.
Yeah.
Especially here
with everything that's gone on. And then I never like it when coaches pull that card of saying, it's not up for you to know. Yeah, I don't need to know exactly. Don't give me a transcript of what happened. But is this guy, we don't technically know if he's suspended. We know there's something about team policy and he's not playing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's suspended. Team policy could be, we're shopping him.
Yeah.
And we don't play players that we think we're going to imminently trade. That's also could be a team policy.
Yeah.
That's how vague this is. I am pretty sure that's not what it is.
Could be.
But we don't know. And that's why we have to speculate.
A lot of teams in the world will be interested in his services. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're months away from a transfer window.
Yeah.
But who are we to say what's going on? I just, you know, I don't understand it. And I don't think I don't get blind defense of Wilfried Nancy here. Yeah, if you want to defend his tactics, do that all day.
Yeah.
This is about roster. This is about managing the roster and the expectations. What we talked about a few weeks ago, you don't know how long you're going to have everyone humming along and all in harmony. You really don't have any idea. I didn't think it would happen this quickly. But
and then Aiden Morse is on a red card now and won't play at Tigres next week.
Is that a big deal? God, and we didn't even get to that. The referees,
got CONCACAF'd.
Dude, can I just say one of the biggest things that drive me crazy was right at the end of that game where, and we've seen this happen before. I forget who it was that got, was it Yeboah? Whoever got tackled.
Yeah, he was there on the left side.
Yeah who got there. Yeah. The Tigres player does a tackle that now in football I think is illegal with the hip drop.
Yes, an actual tackle. Like physically not a grabbed him tackle, wrapped him around the waist. And
tried to like suplex him. But body slam suplex kind of wrestling move to the ground. And then who's laying on the ground after that, writhing in pain? The guy who did the body slamming, the Tigres player, is the one writhing in pain. I am not a fan. I don't I don't care if players, when they get tackled, they grab their leg, they roll around, they try to make a meal of it, whatever. Like, that's part of the game. When you're the one instigating the foul and then the guy, like, getting up nicks your shin or his hand grazes your shoulder and then you grab it, and that's where you're even losing me.
Yes.
That's where you're losing even me. And that is something that CONCACAF competition, be it international or, you know, domestic teams playing each other, that's something it's just known for around the world.
It's a shit show.
Yeah. It's one of the worst leagues for that. One of the worst, you know, hemispheres, conferences, whatever you want to call it, of soccer, whether it's the U.S. team playing, you know, another team, or whether it is MLS teams playing teams from Mexico or whatever. You go to Costa Rica, it's the same thing. It's not one country even. And all the players on these teams are not from one place. They're from all over. But for whatever reason, the referees in this region don't seem to police that in the same way that other places do, at least in my mind. So, in fact, it gets rewarded 9 times out of 10, and it usually goes against MLS teams. But, yeah, that was just a joke of refereeing. And if we hadn't seen the Charlotte game 2 weeks ahead, I think most people would say that's the worst refs that we've ever seen.
Hey, the good news is that you'll get it back at some point in the season. It's usually net even.
I hope so. I know you're right.
But down there next week in Monterey, I'd have a hard time envisioning that you're going to get that.
I don't think you are.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's what drives me crazy is usually referees are biased towards the home team.
Yeah.
So why don't we ever get
Morris
that?
Morris wasn't even a foul on his first yellow card.
Oh, my gosh. That was so bizarre. Just utterly ridiculous. And now this guy can't play in the next one.
Yeah, nice. He might not even be playing with him in the summer either.
Well, no kidding.
Now we're just in a death spiral. It's all over for us.
It's all. You know what? I think they should move the team. Just kidding. By the way, we didn't get to talk about it, but how about those Austin fans wanting Precourt out? Who could have seen that coming? Austin fans would know like
it's
Anthony Precourt.
Tim Robinson. Who could have done? We're all looking for the guy who could have done this.
Yes, Austin FC's new logo, instead of broccoli, it is Hot Dog Suit Man.
Doug is wearing a mustard yellow tie.
No, yeah.
Dave Greeley's wearing a chili verde tie.
Yeah, man. I love the fact that they're all just so up in arms about that. Like, again, relative problems. Our relative problems, still big. Your star player's not on the field and no one knows why. That's a bit of a thing.
It's a soccer thing. It's an on-field
problem.
Yeah, it's
an on-field problem. Well, with a little off-field drama, with a little bit of the coach not talking about it, but it's mostly affecting the on-the-field performance. Mm-hmm. This stuff that they're mad about down there is that they want Josh Wolf out, and they feel like they're not being listened to, and well, then if they did, Josh Wolf isn't getting out, maybe it's because of Precourt, and it's like, oh, you mean Precourt doesn't listen to the fans? Hmm. That's too bad. All right.
What a shame.
Trying to keep things in perspective. We'll take a break. When we come back, the Premier League title race is heating up, and a legend of the game calls out one of the best players in the world. We'll discuss it next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Of course, you can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. We appreciate that. But like we said, no more vacations for the next couple weeks, I think, anyway.
Yeah, so next time for me, I think it's in June.
That's good. Yeah. So we'll get through
you
all
and
this.
I will have the same weeks off anyway. So
I'm sure it's how it's going to work.
Yep.
Probably so. Because a lot of ours are based around school.
Yes.
The school calendar is
you
big
have kids
for you
in
and me.
School.
You
your wife substitutes, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's doing that. And your wife is a teacher.
Yes.
So, yeah, if the schools are out, we're out. We're doing stuff. Yeah, that's exactly it. So where do you want to start? You want to start with this Roy Keane stuff?
Sure.
Or do you want to start with, all right, let's do that. There is some audio here that I have not heard yet.
All right.
Where he's explaining this to me. Where did this come from?
So this was after the Arsenal and City game this past weekend.
Which went nil-nil.
Big deal. At the Etihad.
Yeah, big deal for Arsenal to keep that nil-nil, in my opinion.
Big deal for City to keep it nil-nil, too, because now they've kind of lost their footing in the in the driver's seat of the title charge.
That's fair, yeah. You're right. I guess I'm looking at this from the standpoint of City are the undefeatable beast, but Arsenal's been just as good this year.
I told you that penalty shootout win that they had over Porto a few weeks ago, I'm like, I don't know if they're going to win the Premier League. I cannot promise you anything, but something clicked in. It's like, okay, we can do it in crunch time because they would have bottled it. They would have blown it.
Yeah,
right?
You're right. That's fair.
So this was Roy Keane and Micah Richards on their post-game show on Sky Sports talking about Erling Haaland and his woeful performance of everything that he does except in front of net.
Actually, in commentary, it's like he's not played football. I won't go that hard on him.
But he just misses the ball.
But he just misses the ball, obviously. He wasn't concentrating on the connection and just missed it.
We've all done it.
The levels of his general play is so poor. And not just today, I think his general is laying stuff off, leaving headers or whatever it might be. In terms of front of goal, he's best in the world. But for his general play, for such a player, it is so poor. Not just today, I think he has to improve that. He's almost like a League Two player. That's the way I look at him. His general play has to improve, and it will do over the next few years. This being this brilliant striker is fantastic, but he has to improve his all-round game.
Boy, you know.
And then Mike Richards goes on to talk about like how he does everything well, but he's kind of agreeing with him. It's like, yeah.
He didn't say, Roy Keane is calling him a League Two player.
Roy Keane is saying everything that he does outside of in front of the net, scoring
where
the
ball.
Where he's
one of the best in the world.
Of course.
But he is talking about the rest of his, you know, tracking back, doing anything he can, you know.
Holding up play,
anything else that's not.
Making a pass if you're on a run.
Yes, right. He's not saying, again, now I don't know how he's using League Two, but in my mind, the way we call these leagues now is Championship,
yes.
League One, League Two. You are talking, he's a fourth division player in every other aspect than scoring a goal. Maybe he didn't mean it that way. I'm not.
Maybe he meant it as like championship.
Maybe that's what he's calling. Right. I don't know. Maybe that's how that used to be referred. Either way, that's still a knock on him if you're calling him that. And by the way, I'm not saying it's unwarranted. Roy Keane has forgotten more about soccer than I'll ever know. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to draw some headlines when you say he's not just average in the Premier League at the rest of his play. He is so below average.
I don't want to say awful either, because obviously there's some great players in League Two who have come up and done great things. It's like you're still a professional player, but you're talking about a guy who shattered a score like Premier League scoring records last year.
And what is he, 23?
Yeah, still young.
He's super young, super talented, one of the best goal scorers in his moments that we've ever seen probably in the Premier League. Just seems like an unstoppable force at times. Yeah, and this game clearly wasn't. And like they're saying, if he's not on in front of the net, the rest of his play becomes glaring. I mean, that's a point worth hearing and talking about. I think the worst thing that can come of this for the rest of the Premier League is I don't think he lacks motivation.
No.
But if Erling Haaland ever did and thought, hey, man, I've got it made. I have no doubters. I'm the best in the world. Now he's got that to go off this offseason and just go destroy people and get better at all this stuff. And they all said, yeah, of course, he's going to get better over the next few years. I know this is probably one of those things where old professional soccer players at some point are like, yeah, but he doesn't do like, he's 99% good. And it's this 1% that all pro players have to learn how to do is like play the game the right way.
And he doesn't.
Yeah. And so then they're going to focus on that, not all the other things that make him otherworldly.
Yes.
But
so I don't agree with Roy Keane and what he says.
Right.
I can understand where he's coming from.
I
can understand where he is coming from with everything else other than his goal scoring ability, which is like for him and the position that he plays is 99% of the work, right? That's 99.999% of the trade. But when you look at him and when on the national team, yet to qualify for anything,
right.
Missed out on the Euros this year, didn't get to the World Cup. So when you're not playing in a system that is dedicated to you when you were at Dortmund, By the way, you had Jude Bellingham on your team. Like when you were there, like that guy's also pretty damn good.
You go into
a City team with like Kevin De Bruyne and these world class playmakers who are able to feed you the ball. It does make me wonder. It's like if you are around those guys constantly, and if you're playing at this competition, what would you look like? Like if we dropped you on like Chelsea,
right?
Would it look the same?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a chicken and the egg situation.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at this in a different... I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think it's a fair point. I guess I'm looking at it to make a dumb analogy. If you're like, man, we've got an awesome band. We got, like, the best guitar player. He can shred. We got a great drummer. The back line, the bassist, the keyboard, they're all, like, top of their trades. They're excellent at what they do. We just need a lead singer who kicks ass. And you bring in a guy who can sing, like, Bon Jovi in his prime or something, and then that guy sings, and then another, like, Rolling Stone comes out and is like... Yeah, but if you watched him on the tambourine, he's not really keeping time. And it's like, that's not what you brought him in for. You need a guy who can, like, belt hit these high notes that no one else can.
And play the harmonica.
Ugh. Yeah, he's not good when it's just, you know, dancing around up there. His stage presence is a little weird. It's like, he hits the high notes. He sings the songs you ask him to sing. You've surrounded him with the great band. That's all you need him to do. And then when the team isn't playing well, suddenly that's his, like, it's not just him on that game, right? No. That it was not just him scoring no goals.
It's not tennis.
I learned that this week. Impossible is an opinion. It's not tennis.
That's right.
These are things I've learned.
Put them on shirts.
Yeah. We got one of them. I got the shirt. I saw it this morning. I thought, you know what? Today's not the day. I'm going to leave that in the drawer. But yeah, I mean, that
Wolf is in timeout for you.
His shirt is in timeout for me. That's right. But I feel like, I don't think it's unfair criticism. I think it's an odd, again, they're picking apart the best teams in the world.
Yes.
They're not, you know, we're all looking at this
in
from the
heat
standpoint
of a title charge and a massive game.
Right. And it's about what does it take to win a title?
Yeah.
Which obviously Erling Haaland knows. All
did
those guys
three times last year.
They've all done it. Yeah. So this isn't news. I don't think it's unfair criticism too, in the sense that you're getting paid a lot of money, there's going to be critics.
Would you like to hear the best manager in the world, arguably, go back across the bow of Roy Keane?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Said that Erling had a general play at the level of a League Two player. What do you make of that verdict?
I'm not agree with him. Absolutely at all. It's like he said, he's a manager for a second or third league.
Gotcha there. He's gotcha there. I mean, Every
and then
coach,
Pep goes on and he continues. Yes. Erling is the best player in the world to me.
Right.
I get it from him.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is where I think the bigger discussion comes in is go look at Lionel Messi's work rate off the ball.
It's awful.
Yeah.
He walks 90% of the game.
And then what does he do? Go look at, I mean, use an MLS example. Look at Lucha Acosta.
Yeah.
He does track and do stuff more than Messi does, but there are games you will watch Lucha Acosta, one of the best players in the league, one of the greatest assist men and scorers in this league's history. He loafs and walks, and suddenly you're like, is this guy even playing? And then, boom, he clicks in and
helps you get
two goals, and you're done. It's all over. So, yeah, I'm not here to say that Erling Haaland can't improve. I'm also saying, what is the expectation for improvement? What did you think he was? You know, what do you think he is? And if you're looking for him to be a box-to-box midfielder, he's never going to be that.
That's
not what he's been asked to do. It's never what anybody's looked at.
That's Jude Bellingham.
Right. You need that guy pairing with other greats. And, yeah, the difference between him and a Messi can slalom through, like, from basically that back 18 and come all the way through
Erling
by
Haaland
himself.
Can.
Yeah.
He can beat you with strength and straight line speed, and we've seen that.
And he can beat you in the box if there's a couple guys. Yes, he can get around that or fight through it. Or if he's running with a nice lead pass and there's two guys to beat,
he can get there, get
the touch, handle all the physicality, and make the goal. But, yeah, they're just different players. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody better at doing that thing.
Correct.
Of the physicality that he brings and being able to score with a ridiculous finish rate.
Being
to me,
a traditional in the box striker. Is exactly how you would draw it up in a lab.
Oh man. I just feel like the guys who can poach goals who are his size, we tend to lionize and go, oh my gosh. Like Steven Lenhart for the Crew years ago was like
Christian
this guy.
Christian Ramirez last year.
Yeah,
for, like in the
big
trophy
guys
run.
Come up in clutch moments. They can handle the physicality and they score. He's not doing that at all. He's so much more technically gifted than anybody like that we've ever seen at that level. And then he can also do that for you as well. Like, that's his back pocket is, oh, yeah, I can just make a junk goal happen out of nothing if I have to. And also I can hit one
and
from
a lot of them
25 yards
goals.
Out. Yeah, a lot of them are, but he can also hit them with power from 25 yards out and burn you if he has to. I mean, I've seen that guy do things that no one in the world
Who would you take in a fight, Roy Keane or Erling Haaland? In their like heyday.
Oh,
how
big was Roy Keane?
He's not as big as Erling Haaland.
That's the
probably
thing.
6 foot.
Yeah,
5'11".
I think I'd go. I mean, I don't know how. Like Erling Haaland seems like when he's running at you, like he's tenacious
Freight
and
train.
Scary.
Yeah.
But he seems like a gentle giant right. as a human.
Roy Keane so, does not.
No, Roy Keane seems like he's
was,
looking to...
Was not.
Roy Keane wants to fight now.
Yeah.
I think that was his attempt to get into a fight with someone, either Holland or
the
Michael Richards.
The undercard of Mike Tyson and Jake Paul coming up this summer.
Yeah, guys like Pep Guardiola do have a pretty nice spot where it's like, yeah, this guy who used to coach and then now is on TV is criticizing me and my player?
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, pal.
No, not going to happen. All right, title race we just kind of talked about. Not totally, but we talked about the biggest game of last week that kind of affected that, and that is Arsenal and Manchester City drawing 0-0. So you're still sitting there with Liverpool up top,
yep.
2 points ahead of Arsenal and 3 ahead of Manchester City. Is that
correct.
Right? Yep. Still remember? I'm going off memory there. But so, yeah, that's going to be right down to the wire.
I mean, it's yes. going to be – the sprint in is going to be nice.
Now, by the time you hear this, there is a game today that may have some big impact on that. And, of course, I'm guessing Liverpool and Arsenal fans are going to be huge Villa supporters today
yep.
because Aston Villa is taking on Manchester City. I believe that is at the Etihad.
It is.
Yes. So that's if Villa could somehow win that game, which I don't mean to bring up painful memories, but as I've been the token Villa fan on this show this year, and as I know from a lot of Villa fans who are, you know, much more passionate, that Tottenham loss from a few weeks ago stinks. Bad. You know, they thought that was a huge game. Everyone knew the stakes, and they dropped 4-0 and get a red card, and it's just it was all downhill. It was terrible. Since then, they've I think rebounded quite nicely to maintain what they need to do. They're still in fourth. Now would be a nice way to redeem yourself if you can get the point on the road, certainly. But if you can go actually get three.
Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, and then that would just chop City's head off in the title race.
You chop their head off, but then you're suddenly in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not in it, but you're a lot closer.
Yeah.
You're suddenly
I guess
like,
you're right, because then City would be at 64. You'd be at 62, given what Arsenal does today against Luton.
Yeah, you're right. That's fair. And then if you look, I want to say, like, all of those teams, I just looked at their, like, last few weeks coming in, because what are we, 6 weeks left?
Nine
weeks left. Okay.
So, it's a quarter of the season left to go.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, like, I feel like City
Liverpool
has...
Liverpool plays Sheffield.
Yeah.
And like, then they play United.
Yeah, that's a tricky game,
no, it's
right?
Not.
No, it'll be
not
a
for them
game.
In the league.
Well, all fair enough.
In the FA Cup, they don't give a flip about that. Like,
yeah.
They're coming to Old Trafford with something on the line to win a title and collapse
right,
last year. They will destroy us
all
this
right,
weekend.
That's fair. I don't know what I was thinking.
We're going to get our asses kicked in that game.
I was trying to make it no, that it could be
yeah,
a thing.
No
You're
way.
Right, it probably won't be. Yeah, but then you go look at a lot of the other schedule. I mean, there are still a lot of Luton Towns and that on the schedule for Arsenal.
You guys could play ultimate spoiler, though, because you get Liverpool at Villa Park match day 37.
Yeah, you've got that for Villa. I believe they have Arsenal coming up the next few weeks, too. They get all three of the big boys
good.
The next 3 weeks, or the next, yeah, within, you know, before the season's out, they play each of them starting today. So.
Chaos agents.
Could be. Wouldn't that be something?
If you win all three of those games, you might just thrust yourself into a title race.
I don't think that's likely, but it would certainly do again, all the Villa fans care about is making sure you're in for the Champions League next year.
Of course.
That's a huge thing.
Of course.
Huge accomplishment. And you know what? If on the way you can take something off of Manchester City, by all means. Or if you can do it against Arsenal, right?
Yeah.
They're going to want
any one of those three teams
yeah,
that you do it against.
It, if you affect the race at all.
Yeah.
So Villa has a lot on the line here from a spoiler standpoint, but also from a getting into Champions League standpoint.
Tottenham have here. They got Nottingham Forest, who's in the
in
the relegation battle.
That's gonna. I mean, again, for Tottenham, you would think they should be able to handle that.
Newcastle on the road.
Not easy.
Not easy to do.
They're not the Newcastle.
Arsenal at home, which
years.
Will be big for them. Liverpool on the road for Tottenham. So that, that's a tough
They're
that's
all,
a tough run
yeah.
for them.
So, I mean, all these top five teams are going to be playing each other over the next few weeks. You've still got quite a bit of that going on, too. So, yeah, you said it. The title race, this was in the prep. You had it. EPL title race is spicy.
It is.
A bunch of exclamation points. Spicy is the right word. And I like spicy.
I do too.
I'm excited for a spicy finish.
Are you going to be watching the games today during your show?
Yeah, I'm. Well, I will have the Villa game on for sure. I don't know if I'll have the other one on.
Okay.
But or I know there's. Are there like
three
how many games?
Games?
There's three games.
Three
okay.
Games today.
They're all at the
2:30. Well, Arsenal's at 2:30, and then City is at 3:15.
Yeah, that's the one I was planning on obviously watching. So I'll try to keep an eye on both.
If you're listening to Man and Bone today, know that Bone is going to be very preoccupied.
Never a good thing on Wild Card Wednesday, where all we do is just take random crap and talk about it. So I'm already distracted on Wild Card Wednesday. Right. Even more so.
Just talk about the footy.
That's right. Yeah. I should. I just make it a soccer show the whole day. Go. Finally, the best 39 players under the age of 21, ESPN put their list out. And you got me because you emailed me this and you said, yeah, shocker at number one. And I'm like, well, okay. So then I scroll all the way down, ignoring everything else. And then, of course,
sorry,
you're being...
just, I want everybody to take a few seconds here.
Think about who the number one player in the world under 21. And if you don't know everyone's age, that's the only thing that probably limits you on this. But if you knew, for example, every player's age who was under 21, it would not be hard to guess this.
Do you want to name the top five guys? Because I think it's Pedri is at number five for Barcelona.
Yeah, here, I got it.
Gavi is number three.
Gavi's number five.
Oh, Gavi's number five. Yeah. Pedri's number four.
Yeah.
Pedri, Gavi, I get them confused.
Gavi is, center mid for Barcelona. Yep. Yeah, from Spain, 19 years old, estimated transfer value, 100 million euros.
Nice player.
Number five. Number four is Pedri, who's also a center mid from Barcelona, estimated for Spain. He's 21,
nice
estimated
player.
Transfer value of $100 million. Yeah.
That'd be nice to
That's
have.
That's a nice
it?
Little engine to have, those two guys, being both a combined age of not me. I'm older than both of them combined. That's depressing as hell.
And they have
hell.
A net worth of half of you.
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you, we'd have a nicer studio if I had a 200 million euro net worth.
Buddy, let me tell you, if my net worth was that, I'm not getting in the studio again for my entire life. This podcast is dead.
What? I would only do it for you. If I knew you wanted to do it, I would do it for you.
Imagine that if that was our life and we could just do full-time only Bone and Beam United.
Oh, my gosh.
And it would just be the same. 1 hour a week.
Yeah.
We're just going to get together just for a thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
I'd continue.
It's
to do
great
the
now, and we don't get any of that.
We don't get paid at all to do this.
Jamal Musiala is number three on the list
for Bayern Munich. Great player.
Yeah, $100 million transfer value. Number two is I always forget how to say his, Florian Wirtz. Yeah, Wirtz. Florian Wirtz for Bayer Leverkusen, and
also a tremendous player. 20-year-old. All these guys, good players.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so with the drum roll. This is where I got Bone. With those four guys being mentioned, the number one U21 player in the entire world is?
Jude Bellingham.
Which
is
not a surprise.
If you just weren't aware that he's under 21, it'd be the only thing that would limit. If you knew he was under 21, you'd say, oh, it's him. Right.
That's the crazy part about him. Like, he's doing that at Real Madrid at that age.
Yeah.
As a foreign-speaking international.
It feels like Jude Bellingham is... like 25 or 26 for the amount of time we've been aware of him and how good he is
in the middle of his prime.
Like it feels like he's been at this level for like 4 years
and he has,
and he's 20.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. If you said someone who's 20 years old is the best driver in the world of all people who drive, you would say, well, he's only been driving for 4 years. How's that possible? I mean, that like, it's not possible to be a professional soccer player for very long, right? Like, if you're 20 years old, you can't have played for 8 years professionally, unless I guess you're Freddie Adu, and then look how that worked out. Not great.
Freddie was probably on the list.
Well, Freddie was on a lot of wishing and thinking lists, my friend. He was not on an actual list that ever became a thing. That's too bad. Now I'm sad. But Real Madrid's got a real one, and we told you the transfer values for the other guys. I set this all up. All those other guys' transfers values were about 100 million euros. His is 180 million euros.
And I feel like that's light.
Oh, my God.
If someone, like if PSG or just name your...
Well, that's the thing. He's already at the club that would pay the most
like
for anybody
if
like this.
If City came around or anybody was like, hey, we're going to pay Jude Bellingham 180 million to get him away from the club. Real Madrid would
laugh
flip them
their,
a double
they
bird.
They would laugh
like,
in their face. 180. Get out of here.
What is that?
No.
We'll, 1.8 billion.
We're going to change someone's jersey number and make that in our sleep.
Right.
Like, just nothing.
We're going to change Jude Bellingham's number and make that back easily.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I saw Camavinga was in there at like number seven. I'm like, I forgot that he was 21
years
old.
Yeah.
Chouameni's like 14 on the list. I'm like, he's 21 too. Look at the midfield for the next 10 years.
Those guys feel like they've been playing for five, 6 years. And it's like, and I'm sure they have been on our radars for the last 4 or 5 years, but the level that he is playing at Jude Bellingham is just absurd. So, as a huge Real Madrid fan,
he might be your new Luka Modric.
Oh, he is. Oh, when Luka's done, that's where we're going.
All right.
That's right where we're headed. Jude Bellingham is where. I mean,
think we could do a show at the Bernabeu once.
But Vinny's there too.
I know.
So, I mean, I do love Vinny.
That's why you love Real Madrid. I like them too. They're my team FIFA.
Yeah.
They've been my team in FIFA for like when Mike Bennett and I play online against each other. We have been Real Madrid for the last 10 years.
That's great.
Him and I play co-op.
Well, you
have
more invested in it than I do. I've not been with Real Madrid for the last 10 years. No way.
That's who we go with. And I am so excited for them to get Kylian Mbappe so that I can play with him on next year's FIFA. Everybody's going to be using Real Madrid, but I don't care.
Well, and this is where I live like a different life where, like, in the rest of my life, I tend to feel like I feel more kinship with people who are working outside with their hands than I do with people who are like making spreadsheets and working in like a New York high rise. I tend to identify more with guys because that's where my like brain space is. That's where my brain power, I would be much better at that. However, Real Madrid is my one where it's like
the shiny object.
The common person, not for me. This is Spanish soccer, you fool. I only want the caviar. I only want the best. Give me the Rolls Royce, please.
Go like, to that's, hell, Girona.
Yeah, I don't care.
There.
Yeah, and even like Barcelona, which is a big club, but they've always been the like everyman club. And then Real Madrid is the club of the elites. Well, in Spain, I'm elite,
I'm
saying.
You're royal. Royal Madrid. That's
you. Spanish elite. That's what I'm going to call myself. I'm not a Spanish elite.
When's your birthday?
August 14th.
All right.
Oh, no. Don't. What is that?
I'm just, all right.
I don't like that. The all right is, it's ominous. When's your birthday?
June 16th. This is a whole.
I've already forgotten it.
This is a whole different line of thinking too. But I've told you, I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but every day, I feel like as you get older, it's not about you anymore, right? And as you get through like your mid-20s into your 30s and like all of a sudden it's like you've got a dog and now you've got a kid, those days about you shortly dwindle into nothing.
So oh,
like
yeah.
Everything is about the kid. Like when you're a kid, every day is about you.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I had this realization the other day and I was talking to Bobby, who I co-host a morning show with here on The Fan. And he was like, yeah, you know, as you get older, he's like trying to talk me off the ledge about this. Cause I'm not going through a crisis, but I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah, I get it. You're right.
He's like, well, he's like, you'll always have 2 days. He goes, you'll have your birthday and you'll have Father's Day now. And I said, the good news for me is that it's the same day this year. So I don't even get the 2 days.
You don't even get two.
I get one.
You just get one. You get the Christmas. You're the Christmas birthday kid now.
Yeah,
that's what you are.
That's me.
It's like, hey, everybody's getting presents, but it's your birthday.
But on that day,
here's an extra one.
Whatever I want.
You better.
Whatever.
You better be able to do whatever you want. Yeah. I got to figure out what day June 16th is now.
Sunday. It's Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. Right. Of course.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
See you later.
That's too much podcasting for one day when you can't remember when Father's Day is. It's always on a Sunday. All right. That's it for us. I hope everybody has a great week, and we will talk to you next time. Hopefully, we'll know if Cucho's back or not. We'll find out where our lost Cucho is next. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bone and Beam United, we're out of here.